Guy's in his second year leading our youth. He is the youth director at Church of the Orchard, in the Orchard. Is that correct? In the Orchard. That's in Peach County, Fort Valley. And so welcome to the stage, Joe Barbie.
I know I'm wearing pants, not shorts. So, obviously, I was going to start with one thing, but now I'm going to do another just because I feel like it's appropriate. There's a lot going on in that video. We had a lot of fun this week. We did. But I couldn't have done it, because this ain't just me, without my leaders and my volunteers. So, I know a lot of y'all don't like recognition, but I'm going to make you stand up anyway. So when I call your name, please stand up. Faith. Logan. Oh, Logan. I don't know why I'm using that name. I'm wearing this. Logan. Lexi. Bird guy, I mean Nathan. Gideon. Albo. Here's the thing. If everybody loved the games and there's no issues whatsoever, I did it. If you get complaints that they were too this or too that, Miss Betty did it. Look, all joking aside, I mean, she took a lot of time planning these games, and it was just, everyone was, I think, better than the last. And the kids had a good time. The leaders had a good time. We all had a blast. So, that picture, man. What it looks like in that picture right there, let me stop for just a second. That's like I'm walking down and God tells me to do something and I go, seriously? I'm glad you captured that moment of 80% of my life. So next thing on our agenda is we're going to recognize our graduates from this year. So as I call your name, please come up. Rhea. You sure? I'll come to y'all. Are you good? I'll come. Okay. Well, that works too. It's Rihanna Grace McKee.
Yes.
Yep. She graduated. I ain't done with you yet.
Oh,
she graduated from Taylor County High and plans to attend Gordon State College.
Wow.
Yeah. Faith. She's my daughter, too. Faith Nevaeh Barbie graduated from Toccoa Falls College. She majored in counseling, psychology with minors in theology and global engagement. Okay. Bradley Garrett Bosworth. Garrett, how old are you?
18.
I've known Garrett since, how are you, Garrett? I think you were a baby, I'm sure. We've known y'all for about 18 years now. So I've grown up knowing Garrett and and the whole Bosworth family. He just graduated from Veterans High School, and he will be participating in the Fellows Gap program at Impact 360 Institute. I'm going to put my clock up here because I am a Pentecostal pastor, so I have to kind of keep myself in check sometimes. But first of all, I want to say thank God for AC, okay? And if you're here at the 11 o'clock service, you know what I mean. So we're getting started with the service up here, and then the Isbells were up here playing, and all of a sudden it went poof, and the AC went, and the power went, and Reverend Gallimore, he's like, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my shoes off, and I'm coming down here, and we're going to preach and sweat together. And brother, we stayed with you, and we really appreciate that and your dedication. You know, but I don't know why I keep thinking I'm talking into this mic, because I'm just going to do that way. You give me a wireless mic, and I'm still on the mic. But I'm going to be honest with you, the way I look at it, what the enemy doesn't realize is where he's at, where we are. We're at Taylor County, right? So the demon didn't even have enough nerve to come into the house of the Lord. He attacked us from the outside. He took out the meter is what I heard, right? So he wasn't even going to come inside. He thought he was just going to stop things. And Reverend Gallimore said, no, we're going to keep on pushing on. And then he also didn't realize that Taylor County Camp has an army of people. I don't know where these people come from, y'all. I'm telling you, I've been in this community for 18 years, in the shadows most of the time. But y'all had that thing fixed quicker than I've ever seen things fixed in my life. And that's what I do for a living. I mean, the power went out, and before he finished his message, the guy's on the back with his tool bag going, yes, Jesus, yes, Lord, right back there. And that's the darnest thing I've ever seen in my life. I ain't gonna lie. Let's give it up for that, all right? I'm going to be honest with you. I was impressed and scared all at the same time because y'all got that much power out here in Taylor County. But so I get to give my memory story. I asked Pastor Wayne if that was all right. See, I've been youth director for 2 years now. This is my second year. I guess I did an okay job last year because I'm back here this year. We'll see about next year, depending on how tonight goes. My wife, Jenny. You want to stand up, Jenny? Okay. I try to get her. She's been out here for over 10 years working with the kids. And our kids have been coming for 18 years. Yes, give it up, Miss Jenny. All right. But even before that, our oldest kids are 30 and 33 years old, and they both went through Taylor County starting 18 years ago. So my memory of Taylor County is just, I know when my kids would come home, and might sound funny, but they didn't want to wash their clothes because it smelled like Taylor County because they loved this place so much. What that means, I don't know what it means, but they wouldn't. So, but let me tell you what my memory was. Before I started coming on, last year to serve and this year, before that, I came for the chicken. Can I get an amen for the chicken? I came for the fried chicken. Look. I'd come up here, I'd be working. It was an 8-day holiday for me because I was at home by myself. My kids and my wife were at Taylor County. But I know when chicken day was. So I come out here and I'd eat lunch. Y'all remember me, right? I just walk in and say, hey, do y'all need? Then I'd leave. Some of y'all remember, some of you don't. Then I started getting in good with the kitchen ladies because I know that's how to get extra chicken, right? So as soon as I got here, one of the first things I did is, ma'am, how can I serve you? With the love of the Lord, how can I serve you? Can I take out the trash? Do that a couple of times, you get an extra chicken leg. You can take that to the bank. So, yeah. Let me introduce myself real quick. My name is Joe Barbie. I'm the youth pastor at Church in the Orchard. I don't know if y'all ever heard of that church. We're out here on the bypass in Fort Valley. Been out there for almost a year. I've been in youth ministry for 15 years. I'm the oldest youth pastor this side of the Mississippi. I'm be honest with you, I'm 55 years old, and I love working with the youth, but each year goes by, it gets a little harder and a little harder. But I still love it, so here I am. Last time I was here, I told you about my testimony, and I think it's important. I'm not gonna give my testimony tonight. I'm not going to do all that, but I do think it's important that you know who's on the stage talking to you and where I came from. I grew up in, in the Pentecostal church. When I was 12 years old, I walked away from God. People like the brother said the other day, I walked away. God didn't walk away from me. Because I'm going to tell you, the whole time that I was away from God and I was doing all these things, he still had his hand on me. And so then when I turned around, boom, he was right there. He never left me. I left him. But my testimony is of one of addiction. So when I was 12 years old, I went out and I started doing things. Like I said, I walked away from God. The enemy lied to me and I believed it. So I started doing drugs and alcohol, and the drugs got harder. When I say harder, just not more difficult, but more potent drugs. I have an addictive personality, okay? I'm not going to speak that over me to say anything other than that, but I know my limitations. And I know that, you know, I can't be around it. And something, if I'm going to do something, if I get addicted to something, I'm going to go all the way with it. And I know that. But again, God never left me. I left God. And as here as my testimony, I went from a junkie to preaching the word of God. And here I am. And the enemy did not win. See, what I wanted to do is I wanted to be that person. Because when I was 12 years old and I walked away from God, my parents, I had good parents. It wasn't my parents' fault. I'm the one that made those choices. But I didn't have a youth group to help me through those times. I was on my own. So the reason that I'm a 55-year-old youth pastor is because I want to be the person that I needed when I was 12 years old. Because I know what kids go through. I ran from God for many years, and I got a late start. And see, what the Lord said was, I've been calling you for a long time, but you ain't been answering the phone. So now that you answered the phone, it ain't going to be like I'm going to start here just because you're older and shorten it. He started it when I started. He's going to end it when I end it. He started calling me at the age of 25. I didn't answer till I was about 30, 35. So the way it works for me is that part I ran in the front, he's just going to add it onto the back end. So that's the way it's going to be. That's just the way it's going to be. See, the Lord has not released me and my wife. Here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you. Me and my wife, we serve together in youth ministry. She's down with the kids right now, but she is my right and my left hand and my left foot and half of my right foot. All I know how to do is be silly, preach the word of God. That's it. Anything else, my wife, that's what she does. She does all the organizing. She does all the scheduling. When someone says something to me, hey, can you do this or do that? What do I say? You got to talk to my wife. I don't do any of that. Eventually, I would like to do into full-time ministry. Presently, I own two real estate companies, and I'm trying to work on my exit plan there. I told my wife this year, I feel like the Lord is telling me that it's time to let all that go. You know, sell your belongings, and go into full-time ministry and missionary work. So it's funny when someone said the other day, they were talking about, I think someone's here thinking about missionary. I'm sitting there going, me. So, but we will see. But here's the thing. I guarantee you, if I sell everything I got and I become a full-time missionary and full-time in the ministry, guess where God's going to put me? With the youth. I'll be somewhere in another country or across this country serving teenagers. I can feel it in my bones. So I tell you what, before I get started, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this responsibility that you've given me, and I do not take it lightly, Lord. I know the mission you've given me, and I know the love for these youth, Lord, and I just hope that you guide me, and I'm a vessel of yours, and nothing that comes out of my mouth doesn't come from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, I love the youth. Anybody know what agape love is? I love the youth. I don't love them like I like ice cream. I love them. And this goes, I told this the same to my kids at church. I'll do anything for you and I'll fight for you. I'll fight the devil. I'll take him out and we'll get in a real, just a good Taylor County fight. I love the youth. Agape love is a Greek word that describes the highest form of love. It's sacrificial, see, and it's unconditional. And I know you talked earlier about unconditional love. But I'm going to be honest with you. I can't think anything that a 15-year-old would do to me to keep me from loving them and loving on them in the name of Jesus Christ. They would have to do something. And believe me, I've been tested in the last 15 years. I've been tried. But I don't see how that could even be impossible. And there's another thing that I believe that us as adults, we speak over the youth, and it's something that we got to stop doing. We got to stop saying that the youth are the future of the church, because they're not. They're the church of now. That right there, that little section right there, they're the ones that are going to be fighting. They're already fighting. They're the church of now, not the church of the future. My prayer is that this youth will be at your 100-year celebration, and their memory will be a memory of salvation. That they came to camp, and something they heard, not necessarily from me, but from one of these leaders, or some of you guys, or some of the speakers, that they came here and their lives were changed. I want them to be standing on this stage at 31 years old telling y'all how this camp changed their life. That's my prayer. Can I get an amen? Amen. The theme for this week is I want to be different. There's a quote by Francis Chan. It says, "Something is wrong when our lives make sense to believers." Romans 12:2. I'll give you 100 points if somebody will stand up and tell me what it is. Amen. Miss Betty, 100 points. I'm going to give you the New King James Version. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." There's a lot going on in that verse. Paul brings out several things in this verse. There's a real pressure to conform to this world and be squeezed into its likeness on many different levels. Christians must firmly resist the temptation to accept and imitate the world's way of thinking. I picked that verse because, I picked the theme and discussed it with all the leaders, because I think it's very important for our youth right now to understand that it's okay to be different. And I want them to have that pull to be different. And I'm going to be honest with you, this week's sermons, since I've been down, we've been coming down to listen to you, a lot of them have been lining up with what we're teaching down there. That's a God thing. Because I didn't get any, I had no idea what they were preaching on, and I guarantee you they didn't have any idea what I was preaching on. But what's a good thing is, what's good for me, or confirmation for me, is we would teach something down there, and then we'd come up here, and it wasn't word for word, but it got the same point across. And that goes to show them that it's just not me telling them this, it's him telling them this, and it's the other speakers telling them this. Ain't God good? He's good to me. See, right now, our youth and our young adults are being attacked like no other time I can remember. They are bombarded with information, and most of it is from the pits of hell. I think that this generation is going to lead us into a revival. I honestly 100% believe that. But I also believe that the enemy knows. This generation has to deal with things like social media. See, when we get on Facebook, we're going to trade some recipes. We're going to talk about our fishing trip. We're going to have a good time. We all get on Facebook. There ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with Facebook. But when they get on Instagram or Facebook, it can lead to destruction. And I'm not judging or condemning Facebook social media for kids. I just know what the reality is. An Instagram beef between two teenagers, or an Instagram argument between two teenagers, can lead to things that we don't want it to lead to. And see, when we were growing up, I was talking to a gentleman earlier. I was like, you know, if we had an argument or a disagreement, you know, we might go outside. We might throw hands a little bit even, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we usually ended up being best friends for life. That's how our generation worked. But that's not how it is anymore. And then we could go home. We could be bullied at school, or we could be bullied here, and we could go home, and home was our safe place. They don't have that. With the internet, with social media, whatever is going on can follow them anywhere because they carry this around. But what we're trying to teach them is to call on God when they are walking through difficult times, and that they don't have to go through it alone. So when they're dealing with these things, and that's what it means to be different. So when you're dealing with these things, you're not alone. You can call on your Father, your Heavenly Father. Psalms 118, 11 through 5 says, "They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I will cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me." What that verse is saying is never give up. If you're going through something, like, I'm not going to get too dark up here. I'm not. But this is the reality of where we are in our society. And my plea to my youth is never let it get that far. Rely on your relationship with Jesus. So I want to be different. What does that even look like? We talked about several things. One of the things we talked about is how you respond to situations and how you treat people. Anger and disrespect. Psalms 37:8 says, "Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm." Proverbs 14:7 says, "A quick-tempered person acts foolishly." Y'all notice a trend here. But also, Ephesians 4:26 says, "Anger in itself is not a sin, but how you react when you are angry can be a sin." And I wanted them to understand that emotions are normal. If you get angry or if you get upset, anger, the Bible says in Ephesians, anger is not a sin. But what it leads to, or how you react, can cause you to sin. So think before you speak. When you have a disagreement with somebody, before you lash out, calm down, go into prayer, and ask Jesus just to get you through that anger. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away, along with malice." James 1:19 through 20 says, understand this, my dear brothers. Every person must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish the righteousness of God. That's a pretty popular verse, and I'm pretty sure that's the anger verse that everybody usually uses. But there's a lot of wisdom in that, and there's all truth. And I am one. Part of my testimony is not only was I an addict, but I had anger issues. Okay? I would easily lash out. Is it all daisies and butterflies for me right now in my life? No. But here's the difference. Back then, I could lash out at someone and it not affect me. I could lash out at someone and I could act any way I wanted to, and it didn't affect me, it affected them. But now, I'm different. Now when I get angry, especially because here's the thing, if you know me for more than 5 minutes, you know who I am. You know I'm a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I will do everything I can to honor that, and I will do everything I can not to tarnish that. But every once in a while, I slip up. And I'm going to tell you a story in just a second about just that thing. So you need to turn to God to help you when you're angry. But here's a question. They say, Pastor Joe, what if it's God I'm angry with? It's okay. God can take it. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to talk about it. And it's okay to be angry. What did I say earlier? Anger is not a sin. But if you're angry with God, that's even more of a reason to rely on Him. A lot of times God gets the blame for things that go on in our life that honestly were our own fault. Or honestly, I've been angry with God. I've been angry with God because of situations in my life. But if I go to Him, I guarantee you it will be reconciled if you just talk to God. I'm going to tell you a story. Here's my stories. Disclaimer, I'm not proud of them, okay? But I feel like someone may need to hear what I went through. And this ain't a story of something that happened to me when I was 35 years old. This is the story that something happened to me 3 weeks ago. Confession time. I went into a store because I'd lost my phone charger and my phone was about to go dead. So I walked into the gas station and I looked at the attendant. It's an older gentleman. Well, about my age. I guess I'm older. He's about my age. So I walked into him and I said, and I was in a hurry because I had an appointment to get to. So I swung in there. I jumped out and I said, hey, I need a charger for an Android phone. He said, right here. Handed it to me. I paid my $10 and I got back in my car. Well, I went in there. Guess what? It didn't fit. It wasn't for an Android phone. So I'm like, all right, no biggie. I'll just walk in there and just get him to get me the right one. When I walked in the door and I had it in my hand, he looked at me and he goes, no refunds. Look, I'm going to say something right now that probably might be the reason that you don't invite me back. But there's a term that says I was hood before I was holy, which means I was a mean person before I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that mean person comes bubbling up, and I could feel my ears get hot, and I could feel my face get hot, and I heard a voice tell me, you gonna let him talk to you like that? You're a grown man. So I lashed out at him. And when I say I lashed out at him, I lashed out at him. Not that didn't just affect him. Nobody knew me in there. Nobody knew I was a Christian. But still, I lashed out at that guy. And there was people in the store. And then I don't know if it was out of fear or intimidation or what, but he gave me another charger. So I walked out with my chest puffed up. Got in my car, turned my thing, put my charger on, right? I'm riding down the road. I won, right? Right? Mm-mm. I didn't get 3.5 seconds from that store when I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "Seriously?" Then I said, "Well, nobody knew me in there." "Oh, that's what we're doing?" I was like, "Oh, man," I felt shame. And at that moment, I realized that it didn't matter no one knew me in there. None of that mattered. I know who I am, and I know who I was, and I let anger get the best of me. So I said, "Okay, I'm sorry, Lord. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry." Okay, and then I thought that was the end of it. He said, I rode for another couple more seconds. He goes, "So what you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to my appointment." He said, and I know people go, "You don't hear the audible voices." Me and God talk. I mean, it ain't like I hear, you know, like he's probably with Moses, you know, but I know. I know what he's saying to me. He said, "I'm going to let you go to your appointment because there's someone relying on you. And I know you're usually going to go west to go home, but you coming back by that store and you're going to go and apologize." I had that look on my face. I said, "I told you, they probably took that 3 weeks ago when I was in that store." So, of course, I'd already did something I shouldn't have done. So I went back to that store and I apologized to that man. I even gave the man a hug. "I'm so sorry. Man, I'm a Christian. I said, I'm a pastor. And I said, but I'm also human. And I apologize." He said, "You know what? We hugged it out." And I left the store, puffed out again. That's right. I took care of it. I got my store, got in the car, and I heard her spirit say, "Seriously? So you're proud of yourself. You're proud of yourself for going back and apologizing for something you shouldn't have done to begin with. And then you went back and you apologized for it, but now you think you've done something? All you've done is what you should have done to begin with." I felt more convicted in that moment than I probably have in my entire life. But here's the thing. Pastors are not perfect. Christians are not perfect. It's how you react to things, but also it's how you respond after the Spirit convicts you. You can ignore the Holy Spirit if you'd like, but I wouldn't recommend it. The opposite of anger and disrespect is love and grace. So we also taught them that. You should approach every situation with love and grace. You have to watch how you treat others, because how you treat other people matters to God. Mark 12:28-34. It says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that, he answered them well, asking him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these.'" The way I interpret that, and we're going to talk about priorities in a minute, the number one commandment is love God. That should be number one. No matter what, love God. The second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there's another book where it says almost like, just like. So it's very important to God how you treat people. I teach my youth here and there that you're never going to get in an argument with someone over your religion or your beliefs and belittle them and change their mind and convert them to go to heaven. It doesn't work that way. Let me clarify what I'm saying. The shorter version is you're never going to argue anyone into heaven. You have to treat people with respect. If they're Muslim, if they're Hindu, It doesn't matter what they believe. It matters what you believe. So love your neighbor. It doesn't say love your neighbor unless they're of another religion. Or it doesn't say love your neighbor except if they're another skin color. It doesn't say love your neighbor unless they believe everything like you believe. It says love your neighbor as yourself. See, we take a lot of liberties when we start trying to spout the word of God. And we can even take things out of context to fit our agenda. You also must carry yourself different. Not saying you got to be perfect, but God, because God has grace for that. But love and grace, we did talk about that, and I think that it's very important. My prayer is that I'm different enough to spark a conversation, to give someone hope that if God can save me from death and despair, he can save them too. We also talked about worry, anxiety, fear. See, what I try to tell them and what I'm trying to instill in my youth is there is absolutely nothing that can be going on in your life. I'm not talking 99%, 99.9%. There's absolutely nothing that can go through on in your life that the answer is not in here. And life is an open book test. All you got to do is open the book. If you have, I'll tell you what, let's talk about worry. We talked about worry. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Fear. Psalms 56:3. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 1 Peter, talking about anxiety, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Last year, I also talked about, I gave you my COVID story. I don't know if anybody here remembers my COVID stories. I'm not going to give the whole thing. I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version. Youth, the Reader's Digest is a magazine that us old people used to read. It had short stories in them. And, not, and you, the year 2021, I woke up, well, it's a long story, but I'm going to give you the short version, right? Okay. I got COVID. I got COVID and laid in the bed for a week because I was stubborn, because I'm a man. That's my excuse. But while I laid in bed, I got double pneumonia and severe COVID. Double pneumonia means pneumonia, pneumonia in both lungs. Went to the ER. They rushed me to another hospital in an ambulance. My oxygen levels were down to about 62. When I got to the hospital, they put me in the bed. They tried to put me in the bed. I wouldn't get in the bed. I sat in a chair for 18 hours a day because, what you know, laying in bed is what got me to the ER to begin with. So for the first couple of days, and this all ties into the word about worry, anxiety, and fear. For the first couple of days, all I did was scroll through social media, and I kept seeing all my friends dying. I'm talking about people my age. And then some of them were dying in the very hospital that I was in. Guys and gals I've been knowing for 20, 25 years that went into the hospital for the same thing I did, who went along the same path I did. You know, enter the hospital, high flow oxygen, you know, having to be in the prone position. One night they actually came in my room because my oxygen dropped down to like 35, and they come in and started doing all kinds of stuff with me. And I started praying. And at that moment I said, Lord, if you're going to take me, I'm okay, you know. But I started praying. I'm getting ahead of myself. Before that, I was going through social media. Like I said, all my friends were dying, and I started feeling sorry for myself this first couple of days. Started feeling sorry for myself, and I heard the Lord speak to me, and he says, "Haven't I brought you this far? Do you not trust me?" He said, "Are you done?" I don't know. Maybe the Lord speaks to me that way. Maybe I need to, I don't know, but he does. He speaks to me that way. He's like, "Are you done?" He said, "Because if you're done, there's work. We got work to do." I said, "Okay." So then started praying. And as soon as I got my mind right and I started reading all the scriptures like these on worry, anxiety, and fear, and I heard the Lord say, "Are you good?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I am." And almost immediately, he started sending people into my room. Non-believers, atheists, people who were going through the same thing I was going through, people who had, I was isolated from my family during COVID. When you're in the hospital, I was in ICU, by the way. My wife couldn't come see me. My kids couldn't come see me. That works on your mind. But the Lord was sending these people into my room, and I was getting to, because I was playing praise and worship music, I was reading, listening to the Bible out loud, and they wanted to come in and see what all the hooting and hollering was about, I guess, because they came in and we started ministering. I had one guy, his name was David. He was my lung doctor. And he asked me, he's like, "Man," because by the time he got to me, I had renewed my trust. And he said, "Man, there's something different about you. You're going through this, but you're handling it the way you're handling it." I said, "Well, that's nothing but the Lord." He said, "Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a good man." I was like, "You know what? Neither am I." I said, "But let me tell you why and who I rely on." So he would come in. He was my pulmonologist. I knew if I didn't say the word long enough, it'd pop in my head. So he came into my room right before I left. I was doing what they call the 6-minute walk, where you were supposed to get up and be able to walk with oxygen on and walk 6 minutes without your oxygen dropping, which means you do the 6-minute walk when you're fixing to get released. So he came into my room and he said, "I want to let you know," he said, "what you have," he said, "I want it, but I'm not ready for it." Now, a lot of Christians at that point were going to go, "Well, come on, I'm fixing to drag you down the Roman road. Come on, let's go. What do you mean you're not ready for it?" But see, it's not my job to convert anybody. My job is to do what I did and minister to him. God's going to do the rest. Amen? So that's my hospital story. And I tell that where I'm talking about worry and anxiety and fear, because I let the enemy creep in. As strong as the faith as I am in, when the times got tough, when I faced death and anxiety like you've never seen in your life or experienced in your life, I folded. And I immediately started listening to the devil, because the devil came in and he said, "Let me tell you, so I told you all that was a lie. Where's your God now?" But he didn't win. Because I'm here today to tell you this story. And I'm also here to tell you that without my faith in God, I never would have made it. If it wouldn't have been for the prompting of the Holy Spirit, if it wouldn't have been for, you know, being reminded who I belong to and who lives in me. Another thing we talked about was reacting to temptation. I quote a lot of scripture because I like to know that what I'm telling you, and you can rely on my theology, that it's coming straight from the Bible. I don't have a lot of opinions, I guess. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 said, "No temptation is overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way for escape, that you not be able to endure it." Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh." James 1:14 says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire And Mark 14:38 says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I talked to the youth about temptations. I talked to them corporately, and I talked to some people privately. And all I can do is, when you feel that temptation coming, you got to stop. I come from a place of addiction. Okay, you already know that. Temptation was a big thing for me to overcome, because there were times in my life when the drug of my choice, I would have what they call phantom feelings. Okay, even though I'd been clean for so many years, I could still taste it. You know, I could still feel it, and I was still tempted by it. But when temptation comes, stop and recognize and react with prayer in the name of Jesus. The brothers already talked about it. What happens when you proclaim it in the name of Jesus? They have to flee. But with the youth, let's go back, because that's what I'm here for. I'm the youth director. The youth, again, this day and age, temptations are a lot greater because information is a lot quicker. They have everything on their phones. The temptation is the enemy whispering in their ear, it's okay. Your God forgives, right? Your God has grace, and that's all true. But what did God tell the woman who was committed or was persecuted for adultery? He said, where are your accusers? He told her to go and sin no more. So that's what's wrong with our society right now, is there's too much affirmation or affirming. They're telling people it's okay. You're human. Boys will be boys. You know, they tell you that it's okay. And they affirm what's going on, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. So when you feel temptation coming, stop, recognize, and react with prayer in the name of Jesus. Another thing we talked about was priorities. What is the number one priority in your life? God. We've already talked about that. God should be above everything, no matter what it is. But you got to prioritize your life. Things like prayer life. I gave an example to the youth, I think it was with Garrett, about two best friends. One keeps calling, or you know, one's trying to communicate with the other because they have a relationship, they're best friends. But one only calls when they need something. They only call when they need something. So yeah, then they want to get mad. That's how it is with prayer. I think the example I used was, you know, they hadn't had the communication, and all of a sudden at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, they called and asked if you come pick them up because they ran out of gas. And just like God, you're a good friend, so you're going to do it. You're going to go rescue them. But that person's going to, it would have been a lot better had the communication been all the time. And that's the way it is with prayer life. A lot of us, we pray to God when we're in the hospital sick, or we pray to God when the car won't start. But we don't talk to him every day. A prayer life is a relationship. That's part of a relationship with God. And that's what I was trying to instill in them. You can't call on God. Well, you can, call on God. But if you talk to him every day, that's a true relationship. All right. I also have long haulers disease. Well, it's not really a disease. I lost a lot of oxygen when I was in COVID, and when I talk for a long time, or if I get overexcited, sometimes my memory starts to go. So if I look down and stare for a minute, it's not that I'm lost. I'm just trying to let my brain catch up. Bible study. Trying to go through life without studying the Bible is like trying to operate a really complicated piece of machinery when you shredded the instructions first. That's the best way I can describe that. You have, and I said this before, you have everything you need in here. But guess what? This don't work. You can't put it under your pillow. You have to actually read it. And I told my youth that you can also do, like if you have a certain thing going on in your life, that is one good thing about technology. We have Google. Okay? So if you're dealing with bullying, or if you're dealing with anxiety or fear, you can go in and say, Bible verses dealing with anxiety. And it's going to go, and you can print that off, and you can go and you can see what God has to say about your situation. But I also told them, I'm not a big fan of self-help books. I'm not a big fan of articles that tell you how to do this with your life and try to twist the word of God. So you go straight to the source and read what is ever going on in your life. Read whatever pertains to that. See, because when you read this, you're hiding God's word in your heart. And when you need it the most, it will come out if you study. I use an example at my church. One of the first things we did there is we did a series on the full armor of God. Okay? I got a real sword at home. I ain't talking about no play sword. A real sword. And I also have a styrofoam sword. So what I was trying to tell them is you can put on every bit of armor and you go to war. If you put in all your armor but you didn't have a sword and you went running into war, what's going to happen? You're probably not going to make it. That's why the Word of God is the sword. See, the Bible is not just for information. The Bible is for transformation. You should read this. You can get all the head knowledge in the world. Even atheists can recite the Bible. But if you don't believe it and you don't rely on it, another priority is spending time with family. And I'm just about to wrap this up. I see Wayne over looking at his watch. Spending time with family is very important. From a youth, and I'm half of this thing I'm preaching as a youth pastor, so y'all just keep that understand that a lot of this is, I'm usually talking to teenagers. But spending time with family is very important on so many levels. But also, as a youth, do you know more times than you would imagine that there are youth that lead their parents to Christ? You know that happens? Because we always think, we're Christians, we raise our kids, and we go to church, and that's great. But I have seen where kids come to church, come to youth group, and then their parents go, wow, little Johnny come home, and little Johnny's different. Little Johnny's respectful. Why is little Johnny respectful? And then Johnny goes, well, I gave my heart to the Lord, and now I'm living. I serve the Lord. So what do? Well, maybe we need to, if they can change little Johnny, because little Johnny was bad. If they can change little Johnny, or the Lord can give him that new fresh perspective, they go check it out. So it's important in that aspect to spend time with family. But also, it's good to spend time with family from an adult, is because it's better you teach them than the world teach them. In our house, we serve the Lord. Okay, obviously, I'm a pastor, my wife's in ministry, but we not as much as I'd like, because we're all busy, but we all spend time together. Another important priority is spending time spreading the gospel and discipling others. We actually do a discipleship class at our church for the youth. And the last thing is volunteering, being the hands and feet, and having a servant's heart. That is definitely a Christian priority. Can my youth band come up, please? My youth singers. I told my youth, well, not my youth, I told the youth, Friday night when we first got here, that I have felt in my heart and my soul that there is somebody on this campground. And obviously I point towards the youth because I'm a youth pastor. I'm talking to my kids. I tell them, in a room this size, statistically, there's somebody in this room that haven't given their life to Christ. Again, I was talking to the youth. And then I got to thinking, I was like, maybe it's not the youth. Maybe it's an adult. Maybe it's one of my Potter House sisters. Because you've been talking to the Lord, and you're getting that relationship with the Lord. You're dipping your toe in the pond with the Lord, but you haven't given your life to the Lord. So I'm going to go old school here just for a second. I want us to everyone to bow their heads. Like I tell my youth, no peeking. If that's you, if that's you, I hear you, Lord. I'm hurrying up. If that's you, and you're ready to stop playing games, if you're ready to stop playing church, if you're ready to fully receive what the Lord has planned for you, if you're willing to say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to give my entire life to you. If that's you, raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask everybody to look around. But we see you. And someone will come talk to you after this. Now, youth, everybody can, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell y'all, y'all can look up now. My bad. So, youth, I'm not only talking to you. I know you guys haven't listened to our lesson all week, but we've made some good progress. Has this week been perfect? No. But I can tell you what, if I ever go to a camp that's youth and it's perfect, I'm going to honestly be a little suspicious, because that's not how youth camps run. But if there's anything you, let me get back. Sometimes the best question is not, can you change the things around me, Lord? But God, can you change me so I can handle these things that you got me walking through? We've heard from the Potter House ladies, stories of changed lives, of restoration. They inspired me so much that I decided to represent them tonight. Because your story is my story. And I felt a connection with you. That's why I always wave at y'all in the lunchroom, because I felt a connection from the first time I met you guys. I've had to practice what I preach this week due to my job outside of this, my business outside of this. There's been so many things happen to me this week. Guys, I had a tenant set their house on fire. Arson. I had a tenant that found out they had mold. These are things I can't go, well, I'm at camp. I'll talk to you when I get back. I can't do that. I've already apologized to my youth that sometimes if I was under a tree talking while y'all are playing a game, it's not that I don't want to be there. It's just because I have an obligation. But you know what? 20 years ago, I would have probably left. Ask my wife. I probably went, I got to go. I'm sorry. I don't care what, I mean, I don't care. I got to go. But see, now I'm different. So I've had to practice what I preach to how I react to things. So anything that you guys have heard this week, youth, through my teachings, adults, through the other speakers, tonight's the night to lay it all down at the altar. If you gave your life to Christ tonight, please come down to this altar. And I'm going to tell you like I tell my youth, I don't care what the person next to me thinks about me. I don't care what this person thinks. My salvation and my relationship with God is more important than feel embarrassed by what you think of me. I told my youth, and I'm going to end with this. I lied. I told my youth, don't leave here the way you came. And I say that for everybody. If you went through 8 days of Taylor County camp and you ain't a little bit changed, there's an old country saying said, if I don't set your fire, your wood's wet. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is openly declaring your faith that you are saved. The altars are open.